Good afternoon, morning, evening, and welcome back to TNM Bull. I am your host today, Will, and my co-host, Danny B. How are you, Danny?
I'm good, mate. How are you, mate?
I am good. Thank you very much.
Good.
A quick one before we get started on your brand new episode of 30-ish Minute Murder. There is now an explicit warning at the beginning of the podcast. I'm giving you this explicit warning purely because some of the stuff that we're going to talk about is obviously quite gruesome, and the language that Danny and myself are going to use is not suitable for under 18s. So if you are under 18, off you go. Simple as that. So, Danny, it's been a long time, brother. How are you?
I'm just glad to be back, mate. It's been ages. I've missed it, mate. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. I've missed you. Which is a bit erotic for this time of the evening, but why not? Let's just go there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. Let's get fucking balls deep, mate. Get stuck into it.
That's it, brother. That's it. Just to let you know, also, my Twitch is Godwilla Swift, and in the Swift, it's the I is a one. Danny regularly joins me on my streams on there, so if you want even more banter, you can join us over on Twitch as well. Right, so we're going to take a bit of a different twist today, because the listeners who've been there before, they know that some of the previous cases we've talked about, I think they've all been in the States. Oh, no, they haven't. One was in the UK. But they were sort of part and parcel, who'd done it. There you go. Bang. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this one's a little bit different, though. This one's a little bit different.
Yeah, this one's different. Not in the sense of they don't know who did it, because they fucking did.
They definitely know who was doing it. Yeah, that's a fair point.
It just took them a week to find him.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going down a bit of a manhunt. I think that's the best way. But in fact, possibly the biggest manhunt in modern history in the UK.
100%. And if you Wikipedia it, it's actually the 2010... Northumbria Police Manhunt. That is the official title of it. So
love that.
So from there, straight away, I'll set the scene before me and Danny start dissecting shit. It's July 2010.
Good year, by the way, 2010.
Yeah,
I still can't believe that this, what we're about to talk about, by the way, I just can't actually believe that this happened 11 years ago. That doesn't quite even register to me when I talk about this. Like, because when Will suggested this particular case, I thought, like, I was only a couple of years, 11 years ago, man. Yeah. Unbelievable, isn't it? But anyway, carry on.
It only feels like yesterday that I had the same haircut as him, and people literally used to come up to me at school and say, you look like him. And I was like,
absolute
right.
Hero.
So when we talk about you look like him, we're talking about Raoul Moat. Now, if you're from the States, that name is going to mean fuck all to
absolutely
you.
Fuck all, yeah.
Literally, you're going to be sat there like, what? Who the fuck's Raoul Moat? And if you're from the UK, straight away, you're probably already doing the Geordie accent.
Yeah, absolutely. Raoul Moat.
Raoul fucking Moat, yeah. So to set the scene for people who are completely unfamiliar with the Raoul Moat incidents, it's July 2010. It's a wonderful year, you know. 2010 times were way better. And you've just switched the news on, and in the words of Stephen Graham in the White House Farm Murders, there's a nutter with a gun. So all people knew at that point, when you first switched the news on, was that some juiced up dude from the Northeast had shot a bloke at point blank range, shot his ex missus, and is now on the run. That's all we knew, wasn't it?
Literally, that's it. Yeah, as point blank as that, if I remember. And I do remember the broadcast pretty well. Like I said, it seems like yesterday. And that's literally all anyone knew. Just this, literally, like you said, juiced up bloke from the North has shot two people.
It was literally that was it. You know, they showed you the photo, and not to be stereotypical, if you asked me to draw a picture of somebody who had shot his ex-missus's new partner and then his missus, it's pretty much fucking there, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, he was wearing a vest in most photos.
was a packet of Lambert and Butler's and a four-pack of Stella, and it would have just fucking completed the entire look.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
that's all we knew. So even in Derbyshire, we're sort of like sat at home like, fucking hell, what if he comes down here with his sawn off shotgun?
Which is true, yeah. Because he didn't care at all about anyone. Like, he was going to fight any fucker with that shotgun, to be fair. He
was fucking ruthless, yeah.
Ready for war.
Nobody knew what the hell had gone off, yeah. They just knew that one person was dead, one person was injured, and there was a Geordie on the loose with a gun. Now, this is where shit gets interesting. So there was a 999 call, 911 if you're in the States, but there was a 999 call, and it was actually Moti, and I'm going to refer to him as Moti, and that will...
I do like that.
That will come clearer later.
Yeah, the reason why later, yeah.
So I'm going to refer to him as Moti. Moti had called 999, and he's basically on the phone to this operator, and this operator is just saying, "Who are you? I don't know who you are. Right, tell me where you are. I know what you've done. I now know who you are. Blah, 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 blah." And Raoul Moat's there saying, like, "Listen, yeah, I didn't mean to shoot my ex-missus. I didn't mean to hurt her. But her other half is an ex-copper, and he fucking deserved it. So I blew his head off." So at this point, if you're the dispatch and somebody's just said that to you, you're thinking, well, at least he's fucking honest.
Yeah, I mean, it does. You are at that point sort of thinking, well, that does make my job a bit easier. You've come clean. But I mean, yeah, I mean, what a bizarre phone call to take, to be fair, because that clearly is what you'd normally take on a daily basis.
This is it, in
that job. It's just absolutely nuts.
If you listen to the actual 999 call, you can get it on YouTube, yeah. If you actually listen to it, you can tell this operator has never dealt with a call like this before. Because he's quite clearly said, "I'm on the fucking run, and any of you police officers, I'm going to pop yous. You're not going to know where I am. I'm going to pop yous." And he's just stated to this fucking 999 dispatcher that he's going to, you know, you're never going to find me. I'm going to kill loads of police officers. First question, Danny, what do you think it was?
Ooh, I haven't actually heard the call, so that's I'm intrigued now. You've got my attention. I think, well, my first question, if I were the operator, I suppose, crass, I don't even. I mean, what the fuck would you say?
This woman literally, she turned around, she went, "Right, can you tell me where you are, Mr. Moat?"
just chilled as fuck. I love that.
It's just. Can you tell me where you are? After he's just been on a fucking 5-minute rant, you are never going to find him, and he is going to pop any officer that comes at him. Blah blah blah. Yeah, that's fine, right? But where are you?
Brilliant.
Oh fucking hell! We shouldn't have people died. People died.
People did die, but so, yeah.
Anyway, but, as it goes on, Raoul kept to his promise. Because there was a police officer who was on duty around the area that night, and he was literally just chilling in his fucking car, mate.
Yeah.
No word of a lie, he was just chilling with his car. Yeah, and before you know it, Moti pops up with his sawn-off shotgun, fires two shots into the car, thinking that he's killed this police officer, but he didn't actually kill him. He severely injured him and blinded him. So I say he kept to his promise. He didn't because he didn't kill him.
He made a good go of it.
Oh, he made a good go of it. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, before we get to the ins and outs of this, he did that. And that was the last piece of action that he ever really did, to be honest with you. He continued to go on the run. And then there was an armed robbery. In Rothbury, I believe, and he was identified. So then the police said, "Right, he's in Rothbury, which is a small town near to Newcastle." I would assume. I don't know. I'm not that north.
It's got to be that way inclined somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's quite countryside-y, isn't it? Pretty much like where we live.
Pretty much, yeah. It's countryside-y. And then after. A lot of investigating, and we'll talk about that later. They find him. He's sort of sat there with a shotgun to his head. They were there for hours, weren't they, man? I remember watching that on the news. Do you remember that?
Yeah, so it started off in sort of... It was a bit like a Game of Thrones winter scenario. It started off sort of... It was like you know, sun was shining the full whack. And by the time they finished, it was pitch bloody black. I remember that. It was literally was hours, wasn't it? I'm talking 6 or 7 hours of, negotiation.
Literally, they were just sat there.
It was hours.
And Moti knew that he ain't getting out of this in a good way. He was either going to top himself or he was going to go to prison for the rest of his life. It was one of the two. His last meal was actually a meal deal. They asked him if he was hungry over a speakerphone, and I mean, I've never been in that situation, to be honest with you, Danny. Have you, mate?
Shotgun to your head. It's not every day.
Yeah, you know, I've never been fortunate to be in that situation, but you know, you're in this fucking park. There's a guy with a shotgun to his head in the bushes. You know, you're about 20 feet back, and you're through the speakerphone. Hey, Raul, are you hungry, pal?
It is odd, isn't it? I'd love a chicken salad. I'd agree.
Literally.
But what? Just a fucking from Co-op.
Fucking steak bit.
It's just odd, isn't it, mate? It's a very strange sort of turn of events. It literally was 6 or 7 hours of just standoff.
Yeah.
Between the police, at one end of the field, and old Moti sat with his shotgun and various other effects, which we'll talk about later, that he had with him, just sort of chilling. Really odd that it got to that point. But, you know, I mean, like you said, apparently, you know, they'd sort of got talking to him, and then over these 6 or 7 hours, he got more and more agitated, because I think, like you said, Will, he realised that, look, I'm either going to prison for the rest of my life, or I'm going to fucking cave me head in with a shotgun. And that's pretty much where they've got to by the end of it. Yeah.
And then at 1:34 a.m., the news cameras abruptly cut away from the torches that were shined on Mr. Mo, because if they hadn't have done it, it looked like a fucking party popper filled with red food colouring.
Yes,
know?
It's going to be a nasty sort of...
And I remember the next morning they were like, on Sky News, they're like, this footage is disturbing. And me being the sadistic little prick I am, the next morning I was like, what? Oh, do I get to see him blow his head off? And then they cut it away and you just hear a gunshot. And then the news reporter afterwards went, Mr. Moat was taken to hospital but was pronounced dead shortly after. I'm thinking, mate, he's just blown his head off with a sawn-off double-barrel shotgun.
I'd say he was dead pretty quick.
Yeah, what do you mean you took him to hospital to revive him? Like, you don't recover from that.
Yeah, he's fucked. Yeah.
So anyway, that was that. Raul Moat was dead. There was a police officer seriously injured. His ex-girlfriend was injured. And his ex-girlfriend's new partner was dead. And that was it. Case closed. Done. It fell out of the news. Nobody really, you know, asked any more questions from there on. But fuck me, when you turn the stone over, we've summed the story up in 14 minutes, so we've got 16 minutes left to sort of go into what, you know, the reasoning behind all of this. That was it. Open and closed case. Now, Raul worked as a doorman in Newcastle, among many other jobs. Do you know any other jobs you had, Danny?
I know about obviously about the doorman thing, because several interviews that I've watched with a certain celebrity, of which we'll talk about later on, as you well know. I know he'd done bits and bobs, because he met his girlfriend who he attacked. Obviously, later on, did he meet her through work? He met her on the doors, didn't he? If I remember,
pretty much. So he met his missus on the doors. Her name was Samantha. Met her on the doors. They were together. And eventually, Moat found himself in prison. So Moat was in. Well, here we go. He was a panel beater, a bouncer, a tree surgeon. He was fucking all sorts. His mum had bipolar disorder. And what I've just said about prison. So between February and July 2010, he served an 18-week sentence in Durham prison for assaulting a 9-year-old relative. So apparently, his account is he never did it, basically. I don't know if you knew that, Danny.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I know that account. I don't know if he actually did do it or not. I don't know the actual truth behind it because I don't think there's any proof either way. I know that he said he didn't do it.
This is the difficult thing because he says he didn't do it, you know, and I don't disbelieve him, but I don't believe him at the same time. I don't disbelieve him because of how honest he was throughout the shootings, but then I don't believe him because he had 12 arrests on his records, and he got charged for 7 of them. But he only got one previous conviction and it was common assault. So yeah, he was a bruiser basically. And he also made it very, very clear in prison that he hated police. He fucking hated them.
Yeah. He really did not like police in any way.
He basically said, the police are the reason his business collapsed.
Yeah.
Now the reason the police's business collapsed is because a police officer seized his van when he had a big job on, and he lost the job and lost a lot of money because of it. But they seized it because of apparently a claim of no non-insurance. He says it was insured, but you know, police records.
Yeah, it doesn't look great then, does it? Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But again,
of course, you know, he's gone to prison here, so for 18 weeks or whatever, he's also blaming police for his false conviction in his eyes. I didn't assault I can't remember if it was his nephew or whatever it was, but his relative. I didn't do this, so you guys have locked me up here. I'm in prison. So again, it's another reason to hate police. But I mean, I know people don't always get along with the police, but he really fucking hated police. It was clear he did not like police at all, which is, and that is really important, obviously, with what unfolds as to, you know, the reasons why he did what he did. It really is all down to his thorough hatred of police.
Exactly.
He didn't like them one bit.
And he kept posting from prison onto social media about his hatred to police. He wrote letters to several police stations saying that he was going to kill him, basically. Yep. But whilst in prison, his now ex-partner, Samantha, she actually lied to him and said she had an affair with a police officer because she was frightened of him. So in other words, he went into prison, she found somebody else, and she was so scared that he was going to come after them. She said, don't bother, he's a police officer.
Yeah, so I mean, their relationship, so him and Samantha or whatever, he fell for this girl, he really loved this girl. So when they first got together, she's 16, he met her on the doors. So their relationship very much came from him letting her into clubs and things that he was working at, even though she shouldn't have been there because, of course, underage. Yeah. So their relationship very much was, I mean, at this stage, what Raoul Moat's in is obviously in his 30s. She's a very young, impressionable girl. And he's a big lad. There was a lot of talk of whether their relationship was violent. Whether there's much truth to that, we don't exactly know. But the point is that she was scared of him. Yeah. And she figured the best way to keep him away from me and my new partner is to say, well, my partner is a policeman, so stay the fuck away because he will lock you up. Of course, Raoul Moat is more, well, I fucking hate the police, so I fucking kill him and I fucking kill you as well. And that's the road. Of course, that was his thinking at the time. So the reason she lied was actually to keep him away and to keep her and her partner safe. But that sort of backfired pretty badly.
The really, really, really weird thing. 2 days before he was released from prison, a prison shrink or a psychiatrist went and spoke to him and said, what are your plans when you get out? And he openly said to this psychiatrist, the second I get out, I'm going straight round to my girlfriend's house and I'm going to kill her new boyfriend who's a police officer. And the psychiatrist just went to the prison service and said, yo, this guy is going to fucking blow when you release him. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what did they do 2 days later?
They released him, yeah. It's baffling. It really is baffling.
They released him.
I mean, this isn't this isn't an isolated incident, you know, of people saying that, well, you know, when I get out of prison, I'm gonna go straight back to what I was doing, or I'm gonna do another crime. People say this all the time. The scary thing is that this isn't abnormal for this to happen. It's been dragged up by, you know, the mental health professional, whatever you want to call him, and nothing's actually been done about it. It's just, well, we've got to release him because his sentence is done.
Yeah,
and obviously Moti's there. He's literally done exactly what he said he was going to do. Yeah. He's fucking gone round with a fucking short sawn off as well. He's not half-hearted it.
No, exactly.
You know, he's fucking got a fucking sawn off shotgun and gone round and really fucks it up.
This is
absolutely nuts. It's dreadful, really.
He turned up, he stalked the house for a few hours. And then he was seen by Samantha's new boyfriend in the garden. So he went outside. I'm assuming he's not seen the shotgun, because if there's a 6'3", yeah, 17 stone bloke stood on your lawn with a sawn off, you're not really going to go outside. You're going to lock yourself in the fucking toilet, mate, and call the police. So I'm assuming he didn't see the sawn off, and he walked outside and he's like, right, listen here, Raoul, and then bang. Just fucking bang. So in his head, that's one police officer down. In actual fact, his ex-missus was... I'm sorry. His ex-missus said, oh, man, my new boyfriend's a police officer. Please stay away. You know, imagine walking outside and seeing his head all over the floor and thinking, ah, fuck. And maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
She sort of dug his grave pretty open for him with that.
He shot towards the house window and the shrapnel hit his ex-missus. He then fucked off. And that's when the prison that he'd just been released from probably saw the news and went, oh, if only we didn't know.
Yeah, I know, right? Unbelievable. So,
yeah, this is the point where people were getting scared. He was on the run. And then we're gonna touch on the police officer that the police constable, that he went and shot. Now, he'd obviously said that he was gonna shoot any random copper, blah 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 blah. How the fuck he found this guy, is beyond me. And it shows that he this was calculated. He'd been planning this for months. So the police constable that he shot was called David Rathband. Now, he was shot on the roundabout of the A1 and A69 roads near East Denton. Now, when you think Raoul said he's going to shoot any random officer, you know, it's not a surprise that Police Constable David Rathband was shot. Now, if you delve deeper into this, you know, when I was talking about Raoul had his van seized and he lost a big job because of it. The officer that seized the vehicle was Police Constable David Rathband.
There's no coincidence whatsoever. So, he knew exactly what, you know, like you said, what
that to me shows a lot of thinking and calculation in terms of what you're going to do when you get out, because
100%
there is 100%. No way that you are randomly shooting an officer and it is the same one that seized your vehicle and that you have openly, publicly talked about, I will get you, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, the sad story is that obviously Dave Rathband, he wasn't killed. He was blinded. He did a lot of charity work afterwards, in the 18 months afterwards. But prior to the 2012 Summer Olympics, which he was actually scheduled to carry the Olympic torch, he hung himself from his home in Blyth because he couldn't deal with the fact that he had turned blind. That to me is probably the most tragic thing of this whole case.
So I mean, it's awful. And like you said, you know, it's completely calculated. You know, with him being the officer that had, you know, in Raul Moat's eyes, this is the guy who's made my life miserable, so I'm just going to go and fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, you know, he thought he'd killed him. He was happy to leave him there for death, sort of thing. This officer in question, so he had been deployed because they had an idea of what vehicle Raul Moat was driving at the time.
Yeah.
And it turns out that vehicle had in fact been ditched and changed. However, that hadn't been got through to, you know, officers who had responded. So this poor policeman is looking for a different vehicle. Do you know what I mean? He's not suspecting the vehicle that Raul Moat's coming. So he's not even got a chance. You know, he's just he literally crept up on him and, you know, just basically tried to execute him from point blank range.
It's shocking.
So yeah, it's.
And the only sort of funny thing I can take from this is how shit a shot do you have to be to not finish the job with a sawn-off shotgun from 3-4?
I mean, and the thing is, not even just a sawn-off, he's tampered with the ammunition that he's got. So he's, obviously when you talk about shotgun shells, there's certain components. He's actually packed these things with like extra shreds of metal to make them actually more fucking frangible, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
So not only has he got, you know, he's sawn off a fucking shotgun, he's also tampered with the ammunition to fucking do more damage with, and he still fucked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, what unbelievable. When you look at him, actually, he does look thick as pig shit.
Oh, he does, yeah.
But I mean, like, but unbelievable that this guy, you know, survived, you know, at the point of impact, if you will.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
That is the worst part out of the way. But let's lighten it up in whatever way we can.
It just gets strange. Strange as it goes on.
At this point, you know, you're sort of thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, there was a lot more than probably what I'd known on the case. Now, when Mo came to a standstill in that little field in Rothbury, a certain celebrity was watching the news that night, pissed off his tree. And I quote this celebrity, he said, "I was looking at the TV and I saw Morty. So I thought, fuck it, I'll go and see him and see if he's all right." So he then got into a taxi, went all the way to Rothbury, even though the taxi driver knew that Moat was in Rothbury because of the standoff there. So he was shitting himself like, "Are you sure you want to go there?" But the celebrity persisted that they went there. And then I want you to picture this. Okay, you're an officer on the scene. You're an armed officer. You've got torches on Moat. He's sat there with a sawn-off shotgun. And you get a tap on your shoulder. And it's Paul fucking Gascoigne with a fishing rod, some beer, and a chicken.
Yep, that's literally exactly what happened. Absolutely nuts.
Gazza quite literally turned up to the scene and said to the police officers, "I know Moaty. I know him from going around Newcastle. I've got a fishing rod. I've got some cooked chicken and I've got some beers. Let me go and have a chat with him and see if he'll give himself up." Now, would you believe the police officers wouldn't let him near him?
There's that part of me that would have loved to have seen that play out. To be fair, and it would have been just watching the two sat with a few tins, eating a chicken and doing some fishing at 1 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean? It would have been hilarious. But
I don't know what Paul Gascoigne was thinking when he thought, you know what, I'll get in a taxi and I'll go and see this man with a fucking sawn off. And I'll offer him some chicken and some beers and everything will be right.
I mean, that's the only thing that could have been going through his head. Bless his heart. And just unreal that it occurred. But yeah, that's the genuine truth. He turned up with, armed with a chicken, a fishing rod, and, you know, probably fought a few, you know, a few Le Grandes.
Exactly.
We'll foot and sit down, Morty. Calm down, lad. We'll foot and sit down. We'll do a fishing. Have a few beers. Oh, mate, unbelievable. But yeah, that is exactly what happened.
And
bizarre.
Kind of where the story ends. Now, I know that that's kind of not anticlimactic, but when you think about this, the reason that I wanted to do this is because this is, you look at American mass shootings, and I'm not saying this in a comedic way. Well, I fucking am, but whatever. You look at American mass shootings where, you know, the body counts of like, what, 30, 40, 50, 60, even up to 100 people, yeah. You know, because they've got fucking ARs and whatever. This is the most British shooting in history. You've got...
It couldn't be more British. The only way it could have been more British is if the police were exchanging written letters to Raoul Moat sat across from the other side of the fucking field. Literally. Do you know what I mean? And if they were having a brew. Instead of Raoul, instead of Gaza bringing a few tins, it was, offer you a tea or coffee, sir? That is the only way it could have been more British. Like it's unbelievable.
You've got
it's such a shit fucking, like, news event. You know, it's not sort of like, and this, again, it isn't, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, that I want to see a school shooting. I really don't, but, you know, that's fucking A-grade. Yeah. You know, shooting. That's some bloke with a fucking AR-15 or whatever, and he's just going around shooting a load of kids. That's fucking dreadful. This is just ridiculous. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
He's literally a meathead in a vest who's got a bit pissed off because his ex-girlfriend's found someone else. And he's even fucked up half of it.
Yeah.
And then it's just odd. It is just a really odd fucking thing. And then, he has, of course, at the end, he did sort of shoot himself in the face with a shotgun. Yeah. That he had, but it's just one of those things. Like, what was he hoping to achieve by going on the run, really, in the first place? It's just a very odd thing, isn't it? There's not really any logic behind it. It's just bizarre.
So on that note, we are going to have to call it an evening. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the story of Raoul Moat and all of the fucking weird things that came along with that as well. If you haven't done already, please like, share, subscribe to the podcast. Every single one means so much to all
Absolutely.
Of us.
Yes, please, guys. It means a lot.
And this will be the first of many to come. So, Danny, thank you ever so much for joining me tonight. We will be with you shortly and soon with another one, once I can find one that is going to top that one.
Yeah, that sounds good. I've got a couple of ideas. I'll run through it with you and we'll get something done. Brilliant, mate. Sounds cool. Brilliant. But yeah, it's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you very much for having us.
All right, guys, thanks ever so much for listening. This has been TNM Ball. Take care.
Hi guys, it's Will from TN Bull, and before we start this podcast, I just want to make a massive shout out to BK Accountants. They're an easy way to complete your tax returns, so let me explain. Okay, they offer accountancy services suitable for absolutely everybody. They're a proactive and friendly service. They're open 24/7. And most importantly, they guarantee to be 25% cheaper than your current accountant or anybody else who is doing your accounts. Don't take mine and Jay's word for it, however. You can find them at www.bkaccountants.org.uk, or if you want to send an inquiry off, you can email accounts@bkaccountants.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and let's get into the podcast.